Chapter 22, The Chords of Binding. After retrieving my flute and Darby's oboe, we head deeper into the woods, trying to get as far from the other students as we can. Pinning my case under my arm, I rub my hands together, trying to warm them. The night's getting colder and colder. My breath starts appearing as a misty puff in front of me. We walk until we can't see any light from the fireballs or hear Rebel Clef's spells. This deep into the woods, many of the trees aren't even echo trees, just regular aspens and pines. We must be at the very edge of the school property. Beyond, the mountains rise up and block out the sky. Okay, I say, after 10 minutes of hiking. Think this will do it? Darby drops her case and clicks it open, taking out her oboe. We'll need light to read the spell. On it, says Jai, striking a quick rendition of This Little Light of Mine. A soft blue ball of light flickers into existence over our heads. It's just enough to illuminate the spell sheets Darby made for us, transposed from the original spell. This isn't too hard, Jai says, eyeing the pages as he lowers his violin. The blue light flickers, and we don't have much time before it fades altogether. I'll take the melody, Darby says. Jai, you pick up here, and Amelia can come in here. She points at different sections on the sheet, the notes all precisely drawn in her neat hand. Ready? I say, looking at each of their faces. Their features seem to jump in the flickering blue light, looking eerie with the paint striped across them, red for Darby and blue for Jai. They both nod. Wait a sec, Jones, says Darby. We need to settle something. If this works, I get to talk to her first. Fine. But remember, you agreed to ask her to leave me alone. She shrugs, looking aside. Darby, that was the deal. Yeah, whatever, she says, scowling. I remember. Hurry up, Jai urges. This place is giving my goosebumps goosebumps. Darby rolls her eyes and puts her oboe to her lips. Ready? She says around the reed. Jai and I both nod. The spell is called Dies Irae. I've never heard of it before, and neither have the other two, which makes sense, since it's a black spell. All we have to go on that it'll work is Rosa's word. But just as I put my flute to my lips, a voice in the back of my head wonders if she can be trusted. But it's too late to chicken out now. The melody is stately and grand, a solemn procession of notes. It reminds me of the old cathedrals I saw in London when we picked up Jai on the Zeppelin, somber and ancient and regal. We play at an even tempo, thankfully, since I don't think my cold fingers could manage anything faster. It's a fairly simple tune, though I notice Darby gave me the easiest arrangement while she and Jai thread in more complicated bits. The sound of our three instruments blends together, and soon, streamers of light flow from each of us to twine in the air, a slowly revolving knot of light. We all stare, and I see the other two are as confused as I am. Yellow, Jai says. Since Darby and I can't talk and play at the same time, we just shrug. Maybe that's how black spells are. It's not like we've ever seen one before. But Darby's face is hard, her eyes suspicious. I wonder if she thinks this was all a dupe. Still, I've never seen a spell work like this before. The streamers whirl overhead and grow until we stand beneath a spinning ring of golden light. It bounces off the trees around us, a bright yellow lasso tethered to our three instruments. I can't look long because I'm struggling to follow the notes on the spell sheet lying between us. A minute later, we finish the spell. The last notes fade into the trees, and the yellow magic dissipates. Did it work? Whispers Jai. We stand very still, listening. The trees sway slightly. Crickets chirp from the leaves. Overhead, the sky rumbles in the distance, warning of a storm on its way. My breath fogs the air and then fades. I peer into the dark forest, turning a full circle to check every direction. Jai and Darby do the same. Then we all look at each other. Maybe I arranged it wrong, Darby says. And the more you rearrange a melody, the weaker it gets. Jai rolls his eyes. Or maybe there's just no such thing as go. He cuts off in a scream as a shadow grabs his ankle and he slams into the ground. Jai, I shout. What? Something grabs me by the waist. Then it drags me backwards, like an arm around my middle, and I yelp and drop my flute onto the leaves. The thing holding me tightens until I can barely breathe. Loud creaks and rustles sound all around. It's like the whole forest has come alive. I scream until I can't breathe. In front of me, Darby yells as something seizes her, too. In the pale glow of Jai's spell light, I see what grabbed us. It's the trees. With a gasp, I find myself pinned against the trunk of a tall aspen that's holding me in place with two strong branches. Jai is locked against a pine, and Darby is in the clutches of another. Its needles block her face until she reaches up and rips them away. What happened? She groans. We look around at each other, bewildered. There's no sign of the ghost of other Amelia. Our instruments are scattered on the ground. My heart misses a beat, hoping my flute's okay. Rosa, I croak out. She tricked us. It was a trapping spell, all right, says Jai. But not for a ghost. For us. Why? Why would she do that? Darby growls. She was just using us to get the music cat. We are so dead, moans Jai. Let's just use our heads, I say, trying to keep calm. It's not like we'll be stuck here forever. Someone will come looking. I try furiously to think of a way out of this, but even if I could reach my flute, I can't think of any spell that will free us from the trees, not without possibly hurting ourselves in the process. I hear a sniffle and realize Darby is crying a little. She came here thinking she'd talk to her dead friend, but instead it was all a trick. I know how much she wanted this, how badly she needed to see the other Amelia. What if I'd been given the chance to see my mom again, only to have it ripped away? We'll get out of this, I say, and then we'll find Rosa and get the real spell. Don't talk to me about what's real, she snarls. I stare at her. Darby, no, don't. She's a fake, Jai, she spits out. She's not even supposed to be here. I just stare at her, my heart sinking. She's only here by accident, Darby says. She's not good enough for Mistwick and never will be. She failed her audition, so she stole my Amelia's place. While the rest of us worked our butts off, practicing for years and years to get here, sacrificing everything to come, she tricked and lied her way in. I didn't, I shout. It was an accident, a mix-up. You're not good enough for Mistwick. You don't belong here. You never did. You're just a big, awful joke. Jai looks at me, his eyes round, and my heart sinks. He stares like he's seeing me for the first time, and I just know he's going to be mad at me for never telling him the truth. Maybe even mad enough that he'll never talk to me again. After all, why would he want to be known as the kid who hangs out with the school joke? But then he turns back to Darby. So? Who cares? She's here now, and she's one of us. I don't care if she turns out to be a googly-eyed, tentacle-waving slime alien from Neptune. She's still my friend. My heart lifts. I give him a small, grateful smile and wonder how I could ever have doubted him. I was so ashamed of admitting the truth, I couldn't see what a good friend he really is. Just for the record, I say, I am from planet Earth. Darby glares at me in the fading light of Jai's spell. The real Amelia was a great musician and my friend. She was 100 times better than you'll ever be. I want to shout back, to tell her it's not true. But I realize she's right. I've seen the videos of other Amelia, and she is 100 times better than me. I am just an accident. Even the one thing that could make me special, my composing, only happens when I'm not trying to make it happen. Another accident. Overhead, the sky rumbles with thunder, and lightning flashes in the distance, veins of white behind a bank of dark clouds. I shiver as the wind picks up. The trees sway around, sounding like bones clacking together. Please, please don't let it rain, I think, staring mournfully at my flute, exposed on the ground. The temperature drops until my teeth start to chatter. I buck and twist, but nothing will free me from the tree's grasp. Giving up, I slump forward. It's hard to breathe with the tree squeezing my lungs. I sag over the branch, hopeless. At least it's still dry. Then Jai screams. I look up at once and spot her, in the trees, barely visible in the gloom. A ghostly blue girl, half transparent in the darkness. The three of us gape as she watches us, almost as if she's curious why we're stuck out here in the middle of a storm. Amelia, Darby shouts. Amelia, it's me. The girl looks at her, but it's hard to read her expression when I can barely even make out her face. Did the spell work after all? But then the ghost turns and glides away and soon vanishes. Then Jai's light winks out and we're plunged into darkness. Jai and Darby say nothing. When lightning flashes again, I catch a glimpse of my roommate crying and Jai looking totally spooked. He's actually speechless for once. His eyes meet mine and I realize this might be the first time he's actually believed the ghost existed. Other Amelia doesn't appear again.
That was a ghost, Jai gasps. A ghost!
Yes, I sigh. We know. His eyes are practically falling out of his head.
But did you see it? She was there. Then she wasn't. There, not there. There, not there. Why are you guys not freaking out right now?
Shut up, Jai, Darby says.
This is not normal. This is not how the world works. Ghosts are supposed to be like zombies and the Necromuse and an A in history of musiccraft. Not real.
Darby scowls. Keep blabbering and I'll get that hippo spell from Rosa and make sure you both spend the rest of the year flopping around in the lake. He moans and pulls his head down like a turtle trying to hide in its shell. As I shiver against the tree, partly from the cold, partly from my own raw nerves, I wonder if musical zombies got canceled because of the lightning. If so, will they realize three kids are still missing? Will they even bother looking in this weather? The lightning storm seems to last for hours. My body aches from being pinned so long. And Darby's words keep pounding in my head. You're only here by accident. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. My name is Amelia Jones, I think. I work hard and I don't give up easily. My mom was a maestro, and if I just try hard enough, if I just want it badly enough, I can be one too. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I was born to do. But deep inside, I realize I'm not sure I believe that anymore. Deep inside, I can feel myself starting to give up.